crying out for a move of your spirit.
God bless you. Thank you, Father. So today I want to just visit with you for a short time. It's going to be out of the book of Habakkuk in the Old Testament. And again, it's an interesting thing that we find so much encouragement out of that of the Old Testament that helps us, guess what, where we're at today. We find that a couple of areas that I want to address in this is some things that we could take to heart today. But let me just kind of do a quick rundown, and this is just a little synopsis, I guess, of this book. And it talks about where Habakkuk, he lived during one of Judah's most critical periods. His country had fallen from the heights of Josiah's reforms to the depths of violent treatment of its citizens, oppressive measures against the poor, and the collapse of a legal system. The world around Judah was at war, with Babylonian rising over that of Assyria and Egypt. The threat of invasion from the north added to Judah's internal turmoil. Habakkuk probably wrote during the interval between the fall of Nineveh and the fall of Jerusalem. So we have this warring faction taking place at this time period. And we find out here again that it's these two opposing fields, the Assyrians and the Babylonians. And Babylonian overtakes the whole thing. And they're actually not good people. But do you realize that God will use sometimes the enemies to touch the hearts of his people when they realize that they have faltered and failed to follow him at his word? Or like it says here, how they had fallen away from Josiah's, you know, and what was promised and the things that were there for the children of Israel. And we have that same thing today for us. We have these promises. We have these things that God wants to give to us. But sometimes the only way that he can get them to us is to come by way of saying, okay, here's your enemy coming in, and watch what happens. So the book of this gives us the account of a spiritual journey, telling of one man's pilgrimage from doubt to worship. Do we have people today, do you out here today, possibly have doubts of where we're at as a society, where we're at as a people, as a country? What is going on with the craziness that takes place? It sounds to me like things were kind of crazy back then. This was back in the year of probably like 512 or 600 BC. This was taking place before Christ. 600 years before Christ comes into the whole thing, we're finding this warring taking place back at that time. It was quite a battle. Judah and Jerusalem and the battles taking forth and how scared and the things that were just overwhelming these. Now we find in the first four verses, and that's where we can read the first four verses here in just a minute, but the first four verses of Habakkuk is overwhelmed by the circumstances all about him. He can think of nothing except the iniquity and the violence that he sees among his people. God is nowhere to be found. Maybe some of you today find that same thing, not just in our world, in our country, maybe at times in your own personal life and the things that you're going through. Maybe you're saying, I don't know if there is God with me. I don't even know if God is around me right now. If he is, I'm certainly not seeing it by what I would like, because we're not seeing it maybe because what we would like to be what? Peaceful, calmness, tranquility, everything working well. So we might be saying the same thing. We see all this violence around us. Although he addresses God in 1:2, he believes God has removed himself from the earthly scene. His words are forgotten. His hand is not manifest. God is nowhere to be found. Men are in control. Men are in control. And evil men at that. And they act just as one would expect men to act without God's restraint. These words and phrases describe the scene. Some of this sound familiar. Iniquities, trouble, plundering, violence, strife, contention. Law is powerless. Justice never goes forth. The wicked surround the righteous. Perverse judgment proceeds. I mean, we could put that into a copy of a paper for tomorrow off of the newsstands and send it out to the people, and they would probably think what? That we're writing about today. Iniquities, powerless, the law, lawlessness, uprisings. So let's just kind of look at this initially here. And as we get into this reading, to start off with, you know, when the circumstances of our life presents a negative picture, such as that in failures or losses that we see around us, our personal losses within our situations, our families, our job, whatever the case is, failures or losses, any of those things of negative connotations, the natural reaction of most would be to have complaints and to be of grief. Very true. I've been there. Have you been there? Anybody here complain to God? I have. Have you had grief? I have. For the child of God, though, this is when we need to draw on God's word and put our faith in his word. It is at those times of negative and chaotic times that we need to see through God's eyes. You know, and that's the thing. Through whose eyes? God's eyes, not Tim's eyes, not your eyes. Because I'm seeing things as well as you are seeing things. And I don't know about you, but I don't see a lot of good things sometimes. I see a lot of negatives and bads and just things that I don't really want to look at very long. But we need to look at them through God's eyes, realizing that he has the answer. God has the answer. Do you believe that today? And the outcome is in his hands, or the outcome is, guess what? In his plan. It's either in his hand or it's in his plan, the outcome of our life individually, our outcome as a nation, our outcome as a people, our outcome as followers of him. We have that to know, but it takes that of faith. To help us during those times, it helps us to remember to worship and to praise him. Hardest things to do when you're going down. Hardest things to do when things are all coming at you, to be able to stand there and to worship and to praise him, isn't it? You find it pretty easy when seem like you just got pulled through a knothole, and you're just getting pulled through that knothole and come out the other side, is the first thing you want to do is go, praise God, hallelujah, that was fun, that's good, I enjoyed that. No, it's usually, ow, that hurt, I didn't like that. Why is that happening, God? What happened to me? Where is my relationship with you? Where is your relationship with me? What's taking place? It's here I easily default to a complaining and kind of like talking to God as to, why did you allow this to happen, God? Why did I have to go through that knothole? Might have been. He might tell me anyway, personally. It's because you're a knothead. And has God ever been that personal with you? So as we look at Habakkuk, first chapter, we read, and the prophet's question is this, O Lord, how long shall I cry, and you will not hear? Even cry out to you in violence, and you will still not save? Why do you show me iniquity, and cause me to see trouble? For plundering and violence are before me. There's a strife, and contention is arised. Therefore the law is powerless, and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous, therefore perverse judgment proceeds. Now we've noticed that in the last 2 months. You know, there are some cities out there, Portland I think is one, they've had like 73 or 74 consistent days of riots, of craziness, of disorder in their streets, burning dumpsters I think was the last thing I just saw this last day or two, and continually rioting, continuing, not protest, continuing rioting, being lawlessness, destroying, destruction. God, why are you allowing that to take place? We hear of other communities around our nation having similar things. God, why are you allowing this to happen? When we see the news feeds of these things happening, it gets me bent out of shape, man. To see people acting like that in the streets, destroying other people's livelihood, of destroying businesses and breaking things and destroying monuments and defacing this and defacing that. Does anybody else here get a little aggravated with it? There has to be something to stop this in our nation. And I've got to understand, as much as I may at times go, why, God? I'm praying for our country. I'm praying for our politics. I'm praying for the unborn. I'm praying for this. I'm praying for that. I'm interceding. I'm supplicating for this, that, or the other of this nation. And I don't know, Lord. Right now, I just don't see a whole lot going my way. Anybody been there? I don't see it going my way. Well, that's probably the problem. It's my way. And I got to step back from that and say, Lord, forgive me. I pray that these that are rioting and lawlessness, I pray they have just a conviction of the Holy Spirit and that they receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. I pray that God can get into their lives because they, believe it or not, as much as they might be anti-God and anti-Bible, you know, burning Bibles now, burning American flags, probably in Portland or Oregon or somewhere out there, you know, it's just anarchy. They don't even believe God or whatever, but they don't realize that they were created by who? God. I wonder what would happen if you tell them, even though they're destroying the Bible or don't have anything to do with God, say, but do you know that God knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb? Before you were even thought of, God knew you, God had his hand upon you, and you may deny God and you may not want God, but I'm going to tell you, you were created by God. And somewhere in the mix, you went a little haywire. But you can come back. Because we all kind of went haywire until we received Christ as our Lord and Savior, came back into that relationship and reconciled back to that of God through Jesus Christ. So we just need to keep those individuals in prayer for sure. But there's many times that I go, and now after 2 months, 3 months, how is this going to go? And the only way that I find out about the dumpsters burning and this and that is just on a basic news feed on my phone. I just read a little bit of it, maybe look at the report, and I pass it on. I don't watch the news a whole lot at night or anything on things. It's just why watch it. But just because I don't watch it doesn't mean that I'm not praying. Amen. So as we look at this, my goodness, the prophets question. The law seems powerless. You see the officers and the lines out there trying to protect different buildings and places. And all they're doing is just things are being thrown at them and they shoot something back and more things are shot at them. And it's just back and forth, back and forth. Justice never seems to go forth. Lord, what is going on? So you can get through that. That's kind of like setting it up as far as what Habakkuk is seeing. And he's got a question to God. Just like my question today. Maybe like your question to God in the times that I'm a part of. But then I get into that second chapter. And it talks about in a heading here above verse 2, the just live by faith. And where I want to get to here, it says now, it's going forth to hear. And it starts off, then the Lord answered me and said, now this was after, you know, you read the prophet's first question, and then in verse 5, God, the Lord, replies. Then the prophet has another question, starts in 1:12. Now in chapter 2, we find out that the prophet's second question, and then he goes into, chapter 2. Now he's saying this, I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart, and I will watch to see that he will stay, that what he will say to me and what I will answer when I am corrected. This kind of goes back to last week a little bit where you look at this. So it says, God requires that we make our relationships with him our highest priority. And I think that's where we're at today in the things that we're living in. That it's really getting pretty clear that we better make our relationship for sure with him definite. And we got to know within ourselves that my relationship with God is with God. And that he has the controlling powers, that he has the answer, that he has that plan. Even though I don't see it, even though it may not be my plan, he's either got the plan in his hand or he's got the plan of the outcome in his ultimate plan. But anyway, God requires that we make our relationships with him our highest priority, that we bring our deepest questions and our turmoils before him, expecting his answers and guidance. Now we look at this, when I see this where it says, and 2:1, I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I am corrected. Set aside a regular time and a place that is holy to the Lord. We don't put a whole lot of time aside for the Lord, do we? We got so much going on. Spend time listening for his word as you read and study and meditate on his scriptures. Be faithful in daily prayer. Spend time listening. I think the message last week was, he who has ears to hear, hear. It's what's on the sign out there on the road today. If you have ears, make sure you're hearing. Hear that of God. Hear that of the Spirit of God speaking into your life, speaking into your spirit, these things that we need to be aware of, and these things that we have read in His Word, meditated in His Word, asking Him questions. Maybe we've asked Him a question. He takes us to some scriptures. We begin to read the scriptures. They begin to formulate, guess what? His answer to your question. Or it may give you more opportunity to dig deeper. It may be the time that you read His Word, you stop and think about it, meditate on it. But the thing is, we've got to hear His reply. We've got to hear what He is saying. I have ears to hear the natural. I need spiritual ears to hear the spiritual. And without them, I'm going to not follow what He wants. Or I'm going to continually have questions. And my God would say, I've told you, Tim, get your ears, get those spiritual ears cleaned out. Listen to what I'm saying. I know what you're going through. I know what you're seeing. I know what's happening to you. It's not surprising me, but do you see me? Do you trust me? Do you believe in me? Do you have faith in me? Do you have faith in what I've shared in my word? Do you have faith in what I've shared with you maybe during your times of meditation? And we read and we feel and we hear and we go, yes, Lord, I believe that and I'm going to follow it. But help me, Lord, sometimes when I have those doubts. But I want to, Lord. I truly want to. Be honest with Him. He knows. He knows. He knows. He knows. But just like that of Habakkuk, I will stand my watch and I will set myself on the rampart and I will watch to see what He will say to me. Now we get down into this here. Write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. Write the vision on the tablet so that he may run. What you're looking at there is like, it's a fairly simple thing. Make it so simple, that vision to run, that you can run and read it at the same time, or you can read it quickly and then take off running. I wonder sometimes in our churches that we try to put such a big thing of visions or things of our plans out there, the visions, that, you know how many churches spend many, many days, weeks, and meetings and trying to figure out their vision, and they just keep working on it and add another line or take that out or try this or try that. The enemy would like for us to spend a whole lot of time writing our vision, but it's got to be fairly simple. Just go out and proclaim the word of God. Share it with the people around you. Share it with your workers. Share it with your family. Be a light out there. Be a beacon out there. Just share love, compassion, and all that of Jesus is about. But write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. We read his word as a simple word to tell us what to do. When you read it, run with it. Don't sit there and say, well, I better sit here for another 6 months and really figure this thing out. Well, I better sit. We've had sometimes peoples and organizations and churches sitting out here maybe for 10 or 20 years trying to figure out, what are we really to be doing? What should we do? Let's put it to a vote. And then it comes to a vote, they go, well, let's table that for next month. But get the vision of what he wants you to do, and it's going to be fairly simple because once you get it, he says, go and take off with it. Write the vision and make it plain on the tablets that he may run who reads it, for the vision is yet for an appointed time. There isn't an appointed time out there. Now, our vision, if our, you know, to go and share and all, we may not see that the completion of that at that point in time. But it could be for, guess what? Another time, which is his time. It's not my time. It's not Harvester's Church time. It's not our time. It's his time. But we've got to be faithful in what we're doing in this game that we're in, or this time of life, or where we've been put. And we've got to be what? Taking that ground, being that church, individually, corporately, whatever the case is, to show those around us that the power of God is still existent and God is still God and he is still in control. But how can you say that with all this uprising going on? Well, you know what? Let's look at back in the Old Testament and look at what Habakkuk was dealing with. Two warring factions that were both bad, the Assyrians and the Babylonians. And how they were two ornery people, man, two ornery arms of leaders. But God turned the people over to them to say, here, let them clean this out, you know. They're not listening to me. Had a good time, but here they come. So anyway, we've got to learn by these things, and we've got to understand these things happen, and they continually to happen. But God still has a plan. God is still on the throne. God's ultimate plan is going to come about. But speak But at the end it will speak and it will not lie. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. And though it tarries, anybody been at the tarrying place with God's reply or responses to your questions? All those that are tarrying at times, raise your hand. Oh man. You know, we all probably could raise our hands. There's times and parts and times in our lives that we've had to tarry, some longer than others. And though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. The response of God and what God's plan is, it's not tarrying. It's not, you know, just taking the sweet old time to get here and like, oh, da-da-da, and it gets misplaced or it gets sidetracked. No, God's ultimate plan, it's on course. God's ultimate plan for us, now the things that tarry sometimes, I believe, and this is me speaking, is us individually hearing what God wants us to do, and then we tarry because we take time, or we get off course, or we go over here, or we get sidetracked, and before you know it, we've kind of lost that zeal, we've lost the direction, we've lost the flow, we've lost what God wanted from us, and sometimes we get out on that side, or whatever side it's on, and we're out there for a while. And then all of a sudden it hits us as like, where are you at, God? It's been a while. What's happening, God? Why did you leave me? And God would say this, I'm sure, because he says this to me. I didn't leave you, Tim. You left me. What do you mean I left you, God? Why did you depart from the path I had you on, Tim? Why did you go over here willy-nilly? Why did you go over here willy-nilly? Why did you allow the things of the world to captivate you, to take you off of the projection that I had you on, or the trajectory that I had you on? Remember one time, a long time back, I had shared in the space stuff and all that. And it's like, you know, it's amazing when they shoot this rocket off to go to some foreign planet that's like, you know, light years away, it seems like, or it's going to take like 2 years to get there. That's a long time, you know, because these things are flying at the speed of light sometimes. But they've got to make sure that trajectory, when they lift off, it's got to be precise, because 1 degree, a half a degree off here to get here, a half a degree, you could end up missing the whole thing by a wide span of miles out there in space. And so all the calculations that man does for space flights and all these things that they put up in the space and all these things, it's got to be finite to the point of knowing the actual degree, the speed, the spin, the everything is precise. That's man figuring this out as far as what man does. Now, figure out the multiplication or the magnitude of what God has done, how he has set the stars into the heavens, how he has created everything, and there's nothing out there amiss. It's all out there in a perfect trajectory. It's out there in a perfect place, and there's no problems out there. You know, they're just out there, but they're perfect. You know that you've heard, just turn the earth a tilt one way or the other by just a certain degree. A little closer, a little less to the sun, you'd either burn up or freeze. I mean, it's precise. That is our God. If he sets the stars in place and knows them and names them, if he set this earth in place and created all of this, he is with you as well in our situations. We've got to come to that realization and understanding that he has the answer. Lord, I don't know what your answer is, but I know you've got the answer. It may not be what I want. And if it's not, Lord, help me understand and let me just be able to lay my wants and desires aside to be able to hear what you want. And then I want to line up with what you want, and I want to stay fixated on what you want, because you're the God that's created all of this. Why would I think that he does not have the correct answer? Why would I not think that he has this in his hand? May not be what my hand looks like, but it's in his. But though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come and it will not tarry. It's going to be that on God's time. The time and the return of Christ. The timing and the return of things in your family, the things in your career, the things in your job, the family. Whatever the situation is, it's in his time. It's not to say keep him in prayer, but know that God hears your prayers and God has it in his hand. Behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him. Verse 4. And here's where it's at. But the just shall live by his faith. The just shall live by his faith. The faith. The faith. You know, we all of a sudden, we sing a song like the power they had on Pentecost. The power. You know, the power. Well, it's the faith. The faith. The faith you have with inside you, you know. is going to see you through. It's something that you got to hold on to. That faith, in a way, sometimes has to be like an anchor that you've got to grab a hold of, because it's something that God has told you, something that God has promised you, something that you've read in His Word, that I've got to hold on to that, Lord, and not let go of that faith. The just shall live by his faith. The shall live is this: to live, to stay alive, to be preserved, to flourish, to enjoy life, to live in happiness, to breathe, be alive, be animated, recover health. Recover health. Live continuously. The fundamental idea is to live and breathe. Breathing is being the evidence of life. So when we see that shall live, wow. Any one of these I want. Enjoying life, being happy, I want to breathe, I want to be alive, I want to recover health, I want to live continuously, and you know, I just want to live. Live. The righteous person, in or by his faithfulness, that faithfulness is this: the firmness or the consistency or the belief or faith or steadfastness, shall live. You know, we've got to look at this. We've got to look at the firmness. Are you firm in your faith? How about your consistency of your faith? It's good to have faith when you got the answer there, isn't it? Well, once the answer's there, it's no longer faith. You got to start reaching out with faith for something that you don't see, and then have that trust. And then remember or realize that, you know, it's just like 3 weeks back, I didn't have this or that or this answer to prayer or whatever, and it happened. Wow, I was stepping out in faith in that, and I believe God would answer, and there's the answer. Boom, it happened. Now I've got to look ahead. What else is it, Lord? The righteous person in our, his faithfulness, his firmness, his consistency, his belief, steadfastness. It's not easy, not easy. The thing we got to be very careful and understanding with is when we share these things, and don't be so cavalier to say, "Well, woman or man of faith, why are you doubting? What happened to your faith? Where's your faith muscle at?" You know, it's hard. Isn't it hard to hold on to faith in some things? It's not an easy road to walk. It isn't. But hopefully we can find some encouragement, some things to at least make us think a little bit, to sit there and to say, well, you know, maybe steadfastness of my faith, you know, that firmness, that consistency. We've got to remember, too, what the enemy wants to do out there as far as how he wants to come in and destroy these things that God has a plan for us. The just shall live by faith. Now, let's look at that word just. The just. Just people? No, the just. The just. Upright. Blameless, righteous, the ones that are conforming to God's laws and man's, okay? God's laws and man's. It's not just following the justice for that of God's laws, but are we following man's laws? And those are the laws that man has put into place that we can follow. You know, there are some things that if it goes against, contrary to God's laws, then we have another avenue to look at there. But it's the upright, blameless, righteous, conforming to God's laws and man's. So we've got to be aware of that. Are you conforming to those things of God? Are you listening? Are you following? Are you reading what God is about and what He wants in you? Now, as we go through this, we need to look at this too. What? To determine to praise and worship and thank God for His faithfulness. No matter how devastating the circumstances, we've got to learn to use our eyes of faith at God's plan for the outcome now or for somewhere down in the future. What is His outcome for this nation? I don't know, but I've got to trust and believe, Lord, let it be of good. Let it be of blessing. Let it be of Your flowing out of Your anointing on this land. Turn this nation back to You, Lord. I don't know, but that's what I want. That's what I want, and I hope we're heading in that direction, you know. But it's going to be what the Lord wants to be, but He does tell us in His Word to do what? To heal your land. If my people shall pray and humble themselves, your land will be healed. If my people will pray for those in leadership that I've placed over you. Remember, when we vote and we bring presidents into our nation, we are not, you got to get this thought, we're not voting for a pastor. The president is not to be a pastor. Sometimes our church groups at times think that it's got to be a pastor that's in the office. No, it ain't going to work that way. But we want people in there that are following as close as possible to those things that what God calls things to be followed by. Of the really just morality. Because you know what? What does destroy a country? What destroys in the history of all of God's writings? What really destroyed a lot of the things of God's blessings? An immoral bunch of people. Immorality destroys a country, a nation, a civilization. So if we can just find that standard of how close can this man or woman follow the morality laws, guidelines of that of my God, that's where I want to follow. Will they follow all five or six or whatever the case is? Well, that would be a blessing, wouldn't it? They may only follow three of the five. I'm just throwing numbers out there. Three of the five. So does that mean I'm not going to take that person and vote? Well, if his three of the five are better than the other one that's only got none of the five, I'm going to go to that level of, I'm going to get as close to you, God, as I can. And here's where I'm going. And you will lay out the rest. The rest of it is in your hands, God. But see, that's the thing as far as moralities and the morals of a nation, the morals of a people. Once that gets eroded, the enemy comes in, and that nation, that people, that group of community, they will die. Truly die off. But in all of these things that we go through, and these trials and these situations, if we can go to this part here, and then I jumped back to the last of Habakkuk in chapter 3, starting in 17. And here he is now. You can go through the whole book. It's only a very short, it's only three chapters. And you can see where, you know, he's going back and forth with God, back and forth with God, and how God responds back to him. It'd be interesting, if you would like, just to go ahead and kind of read some of those things. But then we get to the end of this, the hymn of faith. Now here he is, at the very end, he writes this. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olives may fail, and the fields yield no food, and though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls. Now what does that sound like that he's saying? Sounds to me like starvation, there's no food, there's no provisions, things are really down. Though the fig tree may not bloom, nor fruit be on the vine, labor of the olive may fall, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there will be no herd in the stalls. 18 says this, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The thing we've got going for us, you may not have, you know, food in the cupboard or this or that, and things happening, or it looks despair and doom and gloom around you. The one thing that they cannot take away from you is what? Your salvation. Through that of Jesus Christ, your Lord. That's something that the only one that can take it away is you give it up and then turn from him. But once that salvation is there, but he says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, I will joy in the God of my salvation. Verse 19, the Lord God is my strength, he will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on my high hills. Make my feet like deer's feet. It's like being able to run like a deer. Have you ever seen a deer run? And you look at their feet, they're little things. They're not like big old clodhoppers, you know? But they're sure-footed. I mean, they can run over anything and just, boom, be gone. But the Lord God is my strength. Is he your strength today? Are you allowing his strength to help you through these things that you're going through? Have we called out and asked for and said, Lord, sometimes it's got to be certainly not my will, but your will be done. Lord, not my strength, but your strength be in me. Lord, not my peace, but your peace be in me. See, if I can call and claim and call forth those things of God to be in me, it puts a lot of me out of me and more of God in me to where these things begin to come. Peace, hope, tranquility, joy, strength. Not mine, but yours, God. Because I know, does anybody out there deal with this too? When it's your own things of how you handle with anxiety and stuff, you know, we can handle it for a little bit, but have you ever noticed after a while it kind of wanes and kind of diminishes? And pretty soon, sometimes you're back again of, you know, I'm looking at the news, things like that. For a while there, I'm at peace. God, take care of it. I'm praying, Lord, for you to take care of this. I'm yours, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. I feel good for a while, and then all of a sudden I forget a day or two later, and I catch a news piece or a thing on the news, and I go, oh my gosh, look how bad it is. It just keeps getting worse. What's going on? Oh, anxiety goes up, stress goes up, worries go up. All of a sudden it's got to hit that point where, guess what? Ding, 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 ding. It's got to be like that little button in a turkey. When it gets hot and done, it pops out. That little button pops out. You got to go, wait a minute. Overheating, over-worrying, over-anxiety, nang, 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 nang. You know? Stop. Think about it. Call upon the name of the Lord. Lord, I need you again. I need you. Oh, I need you. Every day I need you. Yeah, every day we do need him. So let's not forget about him. We wake up in the morning, before you put your shoes on, put God on. You know, before you put deodorant on, brush your teeth, put God on. Here I am, God, before you get out of bed. Let's go, God, go with me. Here we go. Because I need you today and every day. So looking at this at the end here of having crop failures and livestock die, that would be a devastation to Judah. But here we find Habakkuk. He affirms that even in the times of starvations and loss, he would still rejoice in the Lord. He wasn't controlled by his feelings or the events that are taking place around him. See, these are good things to listen to. These are good people to read in God's Word to realize the things that we go through, that we too have to be similar to that. That we do not see and look around to those things around us taking place that decides how we're going to feel or decides how I'm going to be. No, it's my eyes, my heart, my spirit set upon the things of God and what God has shared with me and that God is in control. So it's not about the events taking place around him, but it was the faith he had in God's ability to give him the strength to go through such times. Something that we ought to learn from this. Don't you believe in God's Word? It's there to learn from. The Old Testament is there to learn from. The New Testament is there to learn from. It's there to help us get through this time of life that we are here. So a teaching of this is when nothing makes sense and when troubles seem more than you can bear, just remember the strength that God can give us is His strength. Learn to take your eyes off of the difficulty you're in and begin to look at God. And keep looking to God. Don't just look at him one time and then go on and then all of a sudden 3 days later you're back to where you were 2 days back. Keep your eyes fixated on God in all of our situations and all of our lives and all of our days. Keep your eyes upon him. As the people of God or as we are followers, we need to live in the strength of his Spirit. And be confident in his ultimate victory over evil. Now, we know God prevails over evil. The enemy, the devil, is defeated. But he's going to be around. He's going to be stirring up. He's going to be just challenging. He's going to do whatever he wants to do as long as you allow him to do what he wants to do. But if you realize it's him doing the stirring, then you need to take the spoon out of the bowl, you know, and then take that spoon and hit him over the head. Don't allow the devil to keep stirring it. Because he knows it gets at you. It gets to where you all of a sudden, all I got to do, the devil says, is create a little doubt. Just get a little anxiety. Get a little fear. Get a little whatever. That's all I want to do. The devil says, I just want to do a little bit. And your mind will run with the rest of it. Pretty soon the devil takes his hands off of you and you're on autopilot of the devil. Because your mind begins to start formulating the things of what you just thought of or what the devil put into you. When that happens, you've got to be able to reconnect, refocus, recalibrate, whatever the case might be, to get back into those things of God and say, oh God, that old devil came the other day, Lord. God knows that. You're not telling him anything new. But you might tell God that. And Lord, I need to get back with you. Lord, I just put that stuff aside. I cast it out. Lord, I'm going to stand with you. Lord, no matter what's going on, it looks terrible. It doesn't look like it's going to come to anything of good. But Lord, you're a God of good, not of bad. And I'm going to trust you, God, whatever it may be. Now here again. It's so easy to say these things standing up here and talking to you. It's like, yeah, do it. Isn't it simple? No, it's not simple. Is it simple for you guys? I don't think so. But hopefully what we do is challenge one another. I had last week at our pastor's thing, they were talking about some things with the going on, you know. And I just began to share something. I didn't know, Lord, where it's going. But I just had to share what I felt by the Spirit. A little bit into the whole thing, and this one pastor stopped and he says, you know what, Tim? He goes, I need to be challenged. Thank you for what you're saying. I didn't really want it to be a challenge. I don't want to make waves. I don't want to get into arguments. I don't want to get into disagreements and things. But there was something in me in the Spirit of God and what some of these things were being discussed about. And I just shared what I said. I said, this is just me, okay? This is just me. But trying to stay in line with God, but what God says and His ardor and His organization and who do we put our trust in, things of that nature, okay? It was kind of like a thing of just watch out where you're going for help to that of the government. See, it's all of these things that we've got to be wise to what the enemy is wanting to try to do to destroy the church. And it may look like a very good idea. We got to have natural ears to hear. We got to have spiritual ears to hear. Especially at these times of our times that we're living in. Because it's getting closer for the return of Christ. And with it getting closer to the return of Christ, there's going to be a lot of craziness taking place out there. And I, as a church, I want to be prepared. I want to be on guard. I want to be watchful. You know, isn't that something? I think I said this. I said, or not to them, but another sharing sometime this week. I said, the worst thing you ever want to hear is the government knocking. And they say, this is the government. We're here to help you. I would say, go away. I'll take care of myself. You just do what you're supposed to do. Protect my borders. Protect us from invasions from outside. Protect us from invasion from within, I guess now. But yeah. Anytime somebody says, I'm here to help you, boy, you better listen very close to God. But it's having that sensitivity. And it's to sit there and say, to be challenged. And I say that because that one pastor says, Tim, thank you. Because I do need to be challenged on some of these things. So I thought, wow, okay. You know, I'm challenged myself. Doesn't God challenge all of us? He should be. All of us out there should be challenged. Daily, or at least a few times a week, or sometime, at least once in your year of 2020. 2020, we've been challenged since March. Ever since March, it's gone this way. You know? January, February. Who would have thought January, February are going to be the best 2 months of 2020? Okay, if God would have said, Tim, you know, for 12 months, only two are going to be the best. January and February, those are wintertime up in Wisconsin. I don't know about that being so good. Trust me, Tim. January and February, after that, it's going to tank. But he has the answer, and there will be an outcome, and I'm on God's side. So we need, as followers, as believers, to live in the strength of the Spirit and confident in his ultimate victory over evil. And there is truly that of evil at hand. So just as Habakkuk, he had asked God, why do evil people prosper while the righteous suffers? Anybody ever asked that question? Oh, yeah, I have that a lot of times. People ask for prayer for somebody. It's like, why is so-and-so, they're so far from God, and look at them, they're flourishing, they got this, they got that. Yeah. Why do evil people prosper while the righteous suffer? Anybody been there today, lately, thinking of that? Here's God's answer, though. They don't prosper in the long run. They will not prosper in the long run. Now, we cannot see all that God is doing. We cannot see all that God will do. But with faith, we can be assured that He is God, and He will do what is right. I believe with us knowing this, that it gives us that confidence and that hope in such a confusing world, in such a confusing time that we're in, even as we're living it now, that I have confidence in God's hand on the situation. And oh yeah, they look like they're prospering, but there comes a time, and I think you'll read this in that, where God spoke this to them. He says, I will get to them eventually, or I will take care of them. In closing, it'll be this. If you go back to the first chapter of this, verse 5, look among the nations and watch. Be utterly astounded, for I will work a work in your days which you would not believe, though it were told to you. For indeed I am raising up the Chaldeans, a bitter and hasty nation which marches through the breadth of the earth to possess dwelling places that are not theirs. They are terrible. They are dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity proceed from themselves. Their horses are also swifter than the leopards and more fierce than evening wolves. Their chargers charge ahead. Their cavalry comes from afar. They fly as the eagle that hastens to eat. They all come from violence. Their faces are set like the east wind. They gather captives like sand. They scoff at the kings, and the princes are scorned by them. They deride every stronghold, for they keep up earthen mounds and seize it. Then his mind changes, and he transgresses. He commits offenses, ascribing his power to his God. But you'll go through it, and you'll find that, guess what? God has what? The final answer. God has. And a lot of these things, the enemies you'll find, kind of play into God's hands. And God allows these things, God formulates these things, God promotes these things. Now, we don't understand it. We question it. Like any good person, we can question it. Why, God? Why? Let Him respond accordingly and then trust what He responds to. But it still gets back to this. I am God and I am in control. And I will raise my hand, or I will, you know, lower judgment on them. But that day is coming. And so as we go through our lives today and we see things around us even today, know that God is there. But what we got to look at is the just shall live by faith. And then we've got to get to that point of rejoicing. Because what? Back at the end, it says this. Oh, and I will rejoice in the Lord, and I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord is my strength. He will make my feet like that of deer's feet. He will make me walk on the high hills. That's for all of us children of God. If you're a child of His, wow, congratulations. Welcome. Welcome to the family. Amen. Lord, we just thank You for Your word today. And Lord, I